When I was 18 years old, I got a job at a 24-hour gas station. My dad had been on my back since graduation, telling me that if I wasn't going to go to college, then I needed to start working. I couldn't tell him that I'd had a job since I was 15 and that I was pretty successful too. I don't think he considered dealing marijuana a legitimate career choice, which is funny because I probably made more money doing that as he did busting his ass as a janitor. The station I worked at was just a little two-pump shack in what I considered to be the middle of nowhere. It sat on a lonely stretch of road in eastern Oregon, about 10 miles outside of the equally lonely town I grew up in. It was the only business for miles in either direction. The station was surrounded on all sides by dense forest, and the bushes behind the building were nearly touching the back wall in some spots. When I applied for the job, the manager, a friend of my dad's, told me that I'd be working the graveyard shift and asked me if that was going to be a problem. I honestly didn't mind. I was usually up until the wee hours of the morning anyways. But in Oregon, it's illegal for drivers to pump their own gas, so I'd have to leave the comfort of the station every time a car pulled up and stand in the cold while the tanks filled up. And by cold, I mean frigid, shrivel your nuts up cold. But it was easy work, and past midnight, I'd usually only have one or two customers an hour until my shift ended at 6 a.m. Actually, aside from the shriveled nuts, my biggest complaint about the job was that it was too boring. But that changed on my last night there. November 15th, 2022. That night had been like any other. I sat behind the countertop, working my way through the new issues of every magazine the store carried, getting up once in a while to help a customer and glancing at the clock every 15 minutes. At around 12:45 a.m., a car pulled up to the pump. I looked up from my magazine and couldn't stop myself from groaning when I saw who was out there. One of the things I liked about the station was that it was so out of the way that I rarely had to serve anyone that I actually knew. Most of my customers were just people passing through, trying to get to the next town before they fell asleep. But that night, one of my former classmates had found his way out to the station in the woods. Brent was one of those guys that I seriously couldn't stand. He was arrogant without having any actual reason to be so. I don't know if I'd go as far as to call him my nemesis, but we had a strong mutual dislike for each other. I'd gone to school with him from elementary all the way through high school, and he'd always been a straight-up asshole. So I wasn't surprised that after about 10 seconds, I heard him lay on his horn, demanding prompt service. After considering my options, locking the door and turning the lights off seemed reasonable for a moment, I got up and walked outside to the pumps. When Brent got out of his car, I saw who his passenger was, and I immediately felt sick. Hannah was actually really cool, and I'd had a bit of a crush on her since puberty had set in. She knew it too, but she didn't feel the same about me, just friends. Hannah waved at me and smiled. I tried to smile back, but I was almost in shock. Was she seriously going out with this guy? They walked past me and Brent turned back and smirked. "Fill it up," he said. I didn't say anything. I just unscrewed the cap on his gas tank and stuck the nozzle in. It was cold that night and my nuts reacted accordingly. I could see both of them through the window getting drinks and snacks, laughing. When I got back inside the station, I walked behind the counter and waited. They dropped their stuff onto the counter and I started ringing them up. Hannah tried to make small talk, but it seemed awkward and forced. "How have you been?" she asked. "Fine," was all I could manage to mutter. Brent started laughing. "Shit, I almost forgot the most important thing," he said. He walked away for a moment and came back, dropping a 3-pack of condoms onto the counter and laughing. They were the kind that were supposed to be for her pleasure. Hannah blushed and slapped his arm. "You're gross," she said. I didn't react at all. Brent was definitely trying to provoke me. I rang up the condoms and put them in the bag with everything else. As they left, Hannah turned back and smiled. "It was nice to see you," she said. "Yeah," I nodded back. I waved and then hung my head as soon as nobody was looking. I thought for sure that my night couldn't get any worse, and for a while it seemed like that would be the case. At about 2 a.m., another car pulled up to the pump and I headed outside. I recognized the car, an old beat-up Plymouth with rolled newspapers stacked high in the passenger seat. It belonged to Charlie, an older guy who came by at least once a week. Charlie'd been laid off from his job a few years back, so now instead of retiring, he got to deliver the local newspaper 7 days a week. He rolled down his window and held out a 20. Charlie's mustache was so big it almost seemed like he'd forgotten it was growing. "It's cold tonight," he said as I took the money out of his hand. "Sure is," I said back. Charlie rolled his window back up to keep warm as I unscrewed the cap on his gas tank and started pumping. I watched as the numbers rolled by on the pump. It had sort of a hypnotic effect on me, especially on really quiet nights. I was so in the zone that it actually took a minute for the sound to register in my mind. I wasn't sure that it was anything at first, but it continued getting louder until I was sure that it was real. I turned to face the woods behind the station. That's where it was coming from. It sounded like leaves rustling, but it was more constant than just the wind blowing through the trees. The hair on my arm stood up as I took a step toward the sound. Charlie saw me step out in front of his car and rolled his window back down. "Where are you going?" he asked. "I think I hear something," I said. Charlie leaned farther out of his window. He probably couldn't hear as well as he used to. "Well, what is it?" he asked. I turned back to him and pointed to one of my ears. I needed him to be quiet so I could hear it. "Listen," I said. I turned back and faced the sound. The bright fluorescent light coming through the windows of the gas station made it hard to look beyond the building into the dark woods. I still heard it. It was even louder now. After a moment of silence, Charlie spoke up behind me again. "I don't hear anything," he said. Before I could turn back to quiet him, a scream pierced through the still night. I jumped at the shock, and I'm pretty sure Charlie did too. He heard it that time. He opened his door and stepped out of his car. "Holy shit," he said. "You heard that right, didn't you?" I asked. "Of course I did. God damn it. Shit, what is that?" Apparently, Charlie cursed a lot more when he was scared. I turned back to the woods and listened closely. Now I could tell exactly what the sound was. It was somebody running. All I could do was stand there, like I was frozen, silently watching the darkness behind the station. We didn't hear any more screams, just the steadily building sound of someone moving through the woods towards us. I wanted to look over at Charlie just to make sure he was still there, but I couldn't tear my eyes away from the edge of the woods. If either of us had been able to function properly, he would have gone inside and locked the door behind us, or better yet, jumped in Charlie's car and driven away. But we were both too scared to even move. The sound was getting louder. I didn't even realize that I'd been holding my breath until my lungs started to hurt. When the gas pump clicked loudly behind us, I nearly screamed. I'd forgotten that it was pumping and Charlie's gotten a lot more than his 20 bucks had bought him. Normally, I would have been embarrassed by the frightened squeal that had escaped from my throat, but I was too scared to care at that point, and Charlie had made a strange grunting noise as well. "Fuck," Charlie exclaimed. The sound was undeniably louder now. Whatever it was seemed really close. I turned back to the woods and watched. It seemed like something would burst out at any moment. That's how loud it had gotten. The rustling leaves were now accompanied by snapping branches and even footsteps. My fists clenched unconsciously and I tried to brace myself for the inevitable shock, but all the preparation in the world couldn't have stopped me from jumping nearly out of my shoes when Hannah burst out of the darkness at a full sprint. "Run," she screamed as soon as she saw us. It seemed to me like everything after that was happening in slow motion. I looked into Hannah's eyes and she returned my gaze. Mascara and blood were both running down her cheeks. "Run!" Hannah screamed at us again, but we were both still too shocked to move. She had small cuts and scratches all over her face and her shirt was torn on her right shoulder. I don't know where the sudden machismo came from, but at that moment, I thought if Brent had done this, that I was gonna whip his ass. I turned my gaze to Hannah's mouth. She had on some kind of lip gloss that looked like it had glitter in it. I watched as her lips formed the next words she screamed at us. "Run! It's coming," she said. That's when time caught back up with me. Hannah ran right past us to Charlie's car. Her body slammed roughly into the side, unable to slow down in time. I was practically worthless at that point, still trying to process what was happening. "Hannah," I asked, as if I had to make sure that it was really her. She turned to me and screamed as her shaking hand struggled to open the back door. "Get in the car," she yelled. I didn't say anything. I hurried over to her and opened the door. I wanted to ask her what was going on, but she jumped into the back seat before I could get the words out. I got into the car and looked over at Charlie. He was still standing in the same spot, staring out into the darkness. "Charlie, come on," I called out. I glanced past him to the edge of the woods. I didn't see anything there, and Charlie still wasn't moving. "Hey, let's go." I could hear Hannah's short, panicked breathing next to me as Charlie finally turned around. He had a strange look in his eyes. Some confusion would have been normal considering the situation. I was confused as hell, but Charlie looked like he didn't know where he was. "Huh? Oh, sorry," he muttered as he took a step towards his car. As soon as his foot left the ground, it looked like he was going to fall over. He reached out and steadied himself on the hood of the Plymouth. "Are you all right?" I asked, one foot ready on the pavement outside in case he lost his balance again. Charlie held out his hand to tell me that he was fine and pulled himself up over to the door. He opened it and practically fell into the driver's seat. I closed the back door and then glanced over at Hannah. She was staring wide-eyed out the window, turning her head quickly from one side of the car to the other. What had she seen that had her so terrified, I wondered. I reached out to touch her arm, and she flinched at the contact. I pulled my hand away quickly, startled by her reaction. "Sorry, I was..." "Just drive," Hannah screamed, louder than she probably meant to. She turned to look out her window again. I always thought I would be able to keep my cool in an emergency situation. I thought I would administer first aid to the injured, soothe the hysterical, and move everyone to safety in a calm and orderly fashion. I had clearly misjudged my own character. "Charlie, drive," I said. I leaned forward into the front seat and looked over at Charlie. His eyes were closed, and he was slumped over, head resting against the window now. I reached out and pushed his shoulder, but he didn't move. That's when I noticed how tightly the muscles were tensed in his neck. I glanced down and saw his fist clenched so hard that it looked like his fingernails were drawing blood in his palms. "Charlie?" I asked. I pushed again on his shoulder. Nothing happened. I was pretty sure at that moment that he was dead, but I didn't want to say anything to Hannah. By some twisted logic, I thought that not telling her was going to protect her in some way. I was startled when I heard her voice behind me. "Push him out and drive," she said. I turned to face her, surprised by her callousness. But nothing. He's dead," Hannah said, interrupting me. "He's dead and Brent's dead too." I couldn't hide my shock when she said that. "Hannah, what happened?" I asked, feeling like I was on the verge of a nervous breakdown. People were dying all around me and I had no idea what was going on. Hannah took a deep breath. "We were out there, in the woods." Hannah stopped for a moment. She was embarrassed. "In Brent's car and..." Hannah breathed a stiff gasp of air and then froze. She started shivering. She was facing me, but she looked right past me. Her eyes were the widest I'd ever seen them. She was looking at something, something that paralyzed her with fear. I stared at her, gripped by the same terror that she was gripped by. I could barely muster a whisper. "What is it?" I said. Hannah didn't respond. I don't think she could. Without blinking, a tear fell from her eye and rolled down her cheek. I didn't turn around. I didn't want to know what was behind me. I watched as Hannah's eyes moved slowly to my left, like her gaze was following whatever was outside the car. I knew that I should have had other things on my mind, like how to protect us, how to get away, but what I focused on that moment was how beautiful Hannah's eyes were. The bright blue of her irises was still surprisingly vibrant next to the tired, bloodshot whites of her eyes. I still hadn't seen her blink. Her eyes must have felt like they were on fire. I wanted to scream. I could feel it welling up in my throat, but I held it in. I was still holding on to a fragment of hope that somehow I could turn this situation around and come out, if not a hero, then at least not a coward. Hannah's eyes darted quickly over my right shoulder, and she couldn't contain a gasp as the whole car shook violently. I braced myself on the back of the driver's seat as Charlie's body lurched forward and hit the steering wheel. I clutched onto the headrest, waiting for another impact, but nothing happened. I glanced over at Hannah. She was frantically turning her head from left to right, searching for whatever it was that was outside the car. Now it seemed like she couldn't see anything. Was it gone? Was this nightmare over? I whispered to her, too afraid to speak up and risk being heard beyond the confines of the Plymouth. Is it? Was all I managed to get out before I was cut off by a short, stiff breath, almost a wince from Hannah. I watched as her eyes locked onto something out the window behind me. No, Hannah barely managed to whisper. The terror and helplessness I saw in her eyes was too much for me to bear. I'm ashamed to admit it now, but at the same time I was so overwhelmed by fear, confusion, and physical exhaustion that all I wanted to do was close my eyes. In the darkness, I heard Hannah scream. I heard something pounding on the pavement outside. It was getting closer. The pounding seemed to be coming from at least two different directions at once. I held my breath and gripped the headrest until it dug into my side. I heard a violent scrape against the side of the car, and then I felt myself falling backwards into the window behind me. Hannah's body crashed into mine, and what I think was her forehead colliding with my nose. The pain was intense in my nose, which was now gushing blood into my open mouth, and in my body as I rolled violently onto the roof of the car, Hannah landed on top of me. I heard the car hit something, maybe the gas pumps, and then I heard one of the back windows shatter as it met the ground. Rolled newspapers rained down on us from the passenger seat. I felt Hannah throw her arms around me and hold on tight. She buried her head in my chest until the Plymouth stopped moving. I heard the pounding on the pavement fade away as whatever it was moved away from the car. In the quiet aftermath, my eyes clenched tightly shut. I just laid there for a moment, listening to the breathing, mine and Hannah's. "Are you all right?" I managed to ask after a moment. I opened my eyes and strained to see Hannah. Her face was so close to mine that I had trouble bringing her into focus. Her forehead was streaked with blood. Was that my blood? "Hannah," I said. Her eyes were barely open. I reached out and shook her. She blinked a few times, confused, and then managed to focus on me. I tried to comfort her, but I don't know how convincing I sounded. "We're all right, we're okay," was the best I could muster. Hannah didn't say anything, and in the silence I heard something that I hadn't noticed before. It sounded like running water, but I knew that wasn't what it was. I bent my neck awkwardly in an attempt to look behind me. As I strained, I could barely see it in my peripheral vision. The pump had been knocked halfway out of the ground and gas was leaking out from underneath it. It was leaking quickly, so I knew if it hadn't reached the car already, it would soon. I knew the window near our feet had broken when the Plymouth flipped. I looked back at Hannah. "Hannah, we need to get out of the car now," I tried to tell her calmly. Finally, my survival instincts were kicking in and I felt ready to take some action. Hannah looked at me, scared. "I need you to scoot back towards the window right now," I said. Hannah let go of me and started squirming out of the car. I don't know how she managed to keep going. I couldn't even imagine all the terrible things that she had seen tonight. She was stronger than I had ever guessed, I bent my head forward and watched as she squeezed through the back window and stood up on the pavement outside. I realized then that I should have gone out first to make sure that it was safe, but I didn't feel quite so brave anymore. I hurried out the window feet first before anything could happen to Hannah. When I stood up outside, I saw Hannah nervously scanning the edge of the woods. I followed her gaze, but I couldn't see anything. But that didn't mean that nothing was there. "Come on," I said quietly and motioned with my hand toward the gas station. Hannah followed me, eyes constantly glancing back to the darkness surrounding us. When we got into the gas station, I immediately locked the door. It was small, only 2 aisles really, so it didn't take long to make sure nothing was inside with us. I grabbed some tissue to stop the bleeding in my nose. Hannah slumped back against a rack of candy bars and sat down. She looked exhausted. I walked over to the cooler and got her a bottle of water. "Here," I offered, holding the bottle out. She looked up at me and took the water. I think she tried to smile, but it was hard to tell. "Thanks," she said, twisting the cap off with her still shaking hands. I looked down at my own hands. I was shaking like a leaf. What were we going to do next? "Is there a phone in here?" Hannah asked. I probably looked like a complete idiot when she said that. I definitely felt like one. How had that not been the first thing that I thought of? Without saying anything, I hurried to the counter and grabbed the phone from the shelf beneath it. When I picked up the phone and pressed it to my ear, I heard a dial tone. I'd never heard a more comforting sound in my entire life. While I dialed, I heard Hannah stand up behind me. After a brief pause, the phone started ringing. "No," Hannah said softly behind me. I turned to face her and saw that she was walking toward the window at the front of the station. She was staring at something, but I couldn't see what it was. The phone stopped ringing. "911, what's your emergency?" Before I could say anything, the lights went off inside the gas station and the phone was dead. I jumped at the sudden shock and then realized what had happened. "Hello? Hello?" I screamed into the receiver, although I knew no one was on the other end of it. Hannah was standing at the window now, still staring out. She didn't react at all to the power going out. I put the phone back on the cradle and clenched my fists. My cell was at my house in a bag of rice. I dropped it in the toilet a few days earlier. Up until this night, I thought it was a pretty funny story. Then I turned back to Hannah. "What's wrong?" I asked, walking toward her. "That man," was all she said. "What?" I said. "He's alive," she said. I stepped next to her in front of the window and looked out. I saw what she was watching. It was dark. The lights above the gas station pumps had gone out as well. But with the reflection of the moonlight and the gas pooling around the Plymouth, I could see Charlie. He was moving. "Oh, shit," I said. I hadn't checked his pulse or anything. He'd been alive the whole time. Broken glass had cut him as he struggled to move on the roof of the overturned car. I could see the small lacerations on his body and face. He looked even more confused than he had earlier when he'd gotten into the car. Charlie looked up and he must have seen the keys in the ignition above him. Hannah and I both screamed as we realized what he was doing, but Charlie couldn't hear us. He grabbed the keys and turned them. The explosion was so bright, I had to turn away. As I shielded my eyes, I heard the window in front of me rattle. Hannah gasped, and I saw that she had clasped her hand tightly over her mouth, her eyes almost impossibly wide and locked onto something outside. I forced myself to look back out the window. I followed Hannah's gaze and immediately wished that I hadn't. Through the flames, I could see Charlie, flailing for those last few seconds in the engulfed Plymouth, trying desperately to escape. Hannah turned away now and sat down below the window, but something inside me couldn't look away. I'd never watched someone die before. I'd seen a dead body once, my grandpa's, but I'd never actually witnessed the final moments of another person's life. I'd never seen life just fade away like that. If I hadn't left him there, alone in the car, he wouldn't be burning to death. I closed my eyes. After a moment, I opened them. I could still see his body, but I knew that wasn't really Charlie anymore. I turned away and sat down next to Hannah. Neither of us spoke. There was nothing to say. We just sat there together on the cold linoleum, shoulders barely touching. I was replaying that image of Charlie, helpless in his car, over and over in my head. It was time to finally admit it. I didn't have a plan. I had no idea what to do, and at that point I didn't even care anymore. I don't even know how long we sat there, in our own separate worlds, before Hannah's voice quietly nudged its way into mine. "How long have you been working here?" she said. We'd gone so long without speaking, and I was so deep in my own head that it took me a moment to register what she just asked. I glanced over at her, unsure if I'd even heard her correctly. She was staring down at her feet, stretched out on the ground in front of her. "What?" I asked, just to be sure. "How long have you been working at this gas station?" she said again. The second time, I couldn't help it. I let out a short chuckle. Hannah looked up at me and smiled, although I didn't think she knew why I was laughing. "Are you making small talk right now?" I asked. Hannah laughed now, and if I hadn't known all the terrible things that had happened that night, I would have thought that she sounded happy. It might have just been the exhaustion making us both a little delirious, but it felt good to laugh, and to see her laugh. Hannah shook her head. "I don't know, I guess," Hannah said. She waved her hand at me to dismiss the question. "You don't have to answer, it's fine," she said. It's been about a month. My dad made me get a job," I said. She nodded. I knew that this was a strange time to be having what was, by all accounts, a pretty typical conversation, but it did feel good to just talk. It felt normal. Hannah looked back down at her shoes. I tried to think of something else to say. I didn't want it to end. "It's pretty boring most of the time," I said before I thought it all the way through, "but not tonight." Hannah smiled, but she kept staring down at her feet. It seemed like the reality of the situation had already started weighing on her again. I looked away. Who was I kidding? Laughing and trying to be funny? The truth is, I was terrified, and I knew Hannah was too. "Is someone going to come?" Hannah asked quietly, not even looking up at me. "Yes," I said quickly. Even if there was no way I could be sure, I still wanted to give Hannah some sort of hope. "The fire. Somebody's going to see it." And that made sense. It was still raging out there. Thick black smoke billowing up over the dense forest. Someone would have to see it eventually. And then I thought of something else. "And my dad picks me up at the end of the shift," I said. Hannah looked up at me, and I could see the worry spreading quickly across her face. "What if..." she started to say before looking back down at her feet. She didn't have to finish. I knew what she was thinking. "What if my dad drove up and the same thing that happened to us happened to him? What if we stood there at the window and watched him die?" "No," was all I could think to say before another long silence descended upon the station. I'd never heard it so quiet in there. With all the power off, there was no hum from the refrigeration, and no golden oldies played at a reasonable volume on the stereo. You never realize how comforting those sounds can be until they're gone. The only sound I heard aside from our breathing was the steady tick of the battery-powered clock on the wall behind the counter. It wasn't even 3 a.m. yet, and my shift didn't end till 6. "Why didn't you leave town, you know, go to college or something?" I asked, barely even realizing that I was speaking. It was something I'd thought of earlier when I saw her pull up with Brent. Hannah was smart. She was too smart to end up living in that town for the rest of her life. Hannah didn't say anything for a moment, and I glanced over at her. She was still staring down at her feet. Because of the situation we were in, it was hard to tell if my question had upset her, but it looked like she was fighting back tears. I hadn't meant anything by it. I had spoken before I even thought about what I was asking. I was about to apologize when she finally answered. "It's complicated," she said. I nodded my head. I was going to drop it at that, but she continued. "I will move and I will go to college, but my mom needs help right now. She needs me here," she said. Before that night, I realized I knew next to nothing about Hannah. All I knew was that I thought she was beautiful, and for a teenage boy, that's usually enough. But I saw a sadness in Hannah then that I'd never seen before, that I was sure no one at school had ever seen. It was something that she carried alone. I turned away. I wanted to comfort her, but I honestly didn't know how. "Sorry," I said. Hannah didn't even look up from her feet when she responded. "You don't need to be." I looked away. I didn't have anything else to say to her. Hannah took a short drink from her water, and I realized how thirsty I was. I got up and walked to the cooler. I really wanted a soda, but I knew what I needed at the moment was just a water. I grabbed a bottle and turned back around. As I faced the window, I glanced out and stopped dead in my tracks. I was looking at Brent, shirtless and bloodied, sprawled out on the pavement a few feet away from the still burning pumps. His back was to me, but I knew right away that it was him. Who else could it be? I could tell even from that distance that if he wasn't already dead, then he would be soon. The cuts and scrapes along his body were made even more vivid by the sickly pale sheen of his skin. He'd lost a lot of blood. I held my breath and watched closely, trying to catch any signs of life in him. It seemed to me like he was gone, but right before I was about to give up, I thought I saw his stomach expand quickly, like he'd taken a short, labored breath. It was hard to tell, though, from so far away. And how had he gotten out there? Seeing Brent now after all this time made me even more confused. I didn't want to upset Hannah, but I had to know what happened earlier. "Hey, Hannah, what happened to Brent? What exactly did you see out there?" I asked. Hannah shook her head. She didn't look up at me. "I don't know," she started. "It all happened so fast." She paused for a moment and I just waited. I knew she would continue. We were out there in the woods. Brent drove down this old road and parked in the middle of nowhere. We'd never gone out there before. It was actually kind of nice. No people, no light except the moon. No noise, you know? I nodded, but I didn't really know. I'd never had the car that was required to go park out in the woods with a girl. Or the girl, for that matter. She wasn't crying, but I could still see the tears forming in her eyes as she thought back on what had happened. We weren't really doing anything, just making out in his car. And then it was like it happened in a flash. I didn't even hear the door open or anything. I don't even know how it... But 1 minute Brent is on top of me, and the next he's not. "I opened my eyes just in time to see his upper body being pulled out of the car," she said. That's when the first tear fell. Hannah brushed it off her cheek quickly. He was reaching out to me. He was screaming," she went on. She took a deep breath and bit her bottom lip hard. At first, I thought it was some kind of a joke. It had to have been some kind of a joke, so I laughed at him. I actually laughed until I heard him scream again. It didn't sound like a joke. I sat up and I looked all around and I didn't see him. I could still hear him screaming, but he sounded farther away. I kept turning my head around, trying to follow his voice, and I didn't see him, but every time I turned, I felt like I saw something out of the corner of my eye. A shadow. Something moving. Like something out there was almost taunting me. "I don't know," she said. Hannah clenched her eyes shut tight. All the moisture that had welled up in her eyes fell at once. She didn't bother to wipe it away this time. She just opened her eyes. And then I turned around and looked behind me. And just for a second, just a split second, I saw his eyes. They were looking at me, and then they were gone. After that, I jumped out of the car on the opposite side, and I just started running. I just picked a direction, and I didn't stop. I could hear things, like branches and footsteps, while I was running. I heard it on both sides of me, she said. Hannah finally looked up at me, right into my eyes. And I could still hear Brent. I could hear his screams fading as I ran away from him. Hannah looked away, and I didn't know what to say to her, but I tried. "It's not your fault," I said. I glanced back out the window, and I thought I saw Brent take another labored gasp of air. Shit, is he alive out there? At that moment, Hannah looked up at me with a surprising quickness. I don't know what drew her attention. Maybe I'd made some kind of involuntary frightened sound that I wasn't conscious of. I turned my attention to her, but it was too late. She'd seen the look on my face. "What?" she asked and quickly stood up. I didn't have time to say anything before she turned around and saw for herself what was outside. "No," she said as she clasped her hand to her mouth again. "How?" I made my way up to the window and stood next to her. Hannah didn't say anything for a moment. She just stared out the window at Brent, or Brent's body, on the ground in front of her. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. Did she want me to comfort her? I would have. I wanted to hug her. But the boy in me still feared the possibility of rejection. So I just stood there. I felt bad asking, but I still wanted to know more about what she'd seen. "Well, what was it? What was out there?" I asked as gently as I could. Hannah shook her head. I don't know. All I saw were eyes, she said. I waited quietly to see if she'd continue. She closed her own eyes. Maybe she was trying to picture it in her head. They were big. Big black eyes. They almost seemed like they were just huge pupils, she went on. Hannah kept her eyes closed for a moment after she spoke. I stood there and watched her. I don't know what I thought I would learn from her story, some secret clue to getting out of there alive, maybe. But the more I knew, the more scared I became. I still didn't know what was out there, and I still had no plan, and that scared me more than anything. All I knew was that whatever it was is dangerous. Hannah opened her eyes again, and they were immediately focused on Brent outside. I didn't want to see any more blood tonight. I had to do something to better our situation. I realized that if something got into the station, we'd be left pretty much defenseless. What am I going to do? Hit it with a bag of pretzels and a Gatorade? I mean, we're just not in a good situation. I ran behind the counter. It didn't seem like Hannah noticed. Her eyes never turned from the window. The only thing that came to mind that I could use as a weapon was a box cutter. I knew it wasn't the best weapon, but it could definitely do more than open boxes. I found it quickly and extended the blade as far as it would go with my thumb. Holding it in my hand didn't make me feel any more prepared to use it, but I held out hope that in an emergency, my survival instincts would kick in and I'd somehow manage to protect us. Hannah spoke quietly, without turning away from the window. I think he's still breathing, she said. Hannah bent closer to the window, nearly pressing her nose against the glass to get a closer look. I rushed over, lowering the blade on the box cutter. I looked out at Brent. After a moment, I was pretty sure I saw him taking another shallow breath, too. But how had he gotten all the way out there? Hannah then turned and made a move toward the door. We have to help him, she said. I quickly wedged myself between her and the door. Wait a second. Let's think about this for a second, I said. Hannah glared at me. Her eye contact never wavered. I already left him once out there to die. I can't do it again. He needs our help, she demanded. She actually tried to push me out of the way, but I stood my ground. I couldn't let her go out there. Hannah must have had the same thoughts I did. I knew it. What if it's a trap? What if Brent is like bait? I asked. Hannah's expression didn't change. That idea had crossed her mind long ago. She continued to glare at me. I don't care. Get out of my way, she said. Hannah, stop, I said before I quickly turned my head in the direction of something I thought I'd heard. It had sounded like something scraping at the back door of the station. That door automatically locked on the outside when it was closed, but that fact did little to comfort me that night. Hannah looked like she was about to say something, and I held my finger to my lips to quiet her. Then I heard it again. It was a short scrape, and then, I don't know, was that the doorknob? Hannah had heard the sound too. She was watching me cautiously, waiting for my response. Then another thought crossed my mind, something that I was terrified to even consider. What if Brent wasn't being used to bait us outside? What if he was only being used to distract us while something came inside? Find something sharp and hide, I told Hannah as my thumb extended the blade on the box cutter. She stepped aside as I hurried to the small break room where the back door was located. As I walked into the room, I quickly swept it with my eyes. I didn't see anything strange. The door was still closed. I held the box cutter in front of me as I moved cautiously toward it. I heard another scrape on the other side of the door. The closer I got to it, the more my body tensed, like it sensed the danger. I'd walked out this door plenty of times, usually to take some trash out to the dumpster at the side of the building, but now I didn't dare touch it. Again, I realized that I didn't know what I was supposed to do. I couldn't open the door, but I couldn't just stand there like an idiot with a box cutter either. And then finally, I realized what most people probably would have done immediately. I grabbed the heaviest box I could find and started pushing it in front of the door. I had one box in position and I was going back for a second when I heard the scraping noise again, but this time it was louder. I stopped to listen. There it was again. Then I heard something else, something that nearly made my heart stop. It sounded like a cat meowing. Oh, shit. I realized then how badly I fucked up, and I ran out of the back room. Hannah, I called out as I stepped into the front of the station. I didn't see her anywhere. Hannah, I turned and looked out through the glass door. No, oh no. She was out there, kneeling down on the pavement, trying to get Brent to open his eyes. This was bad. I ran to the door, hand out, ready to push the door open. That's when I saw them emerging from the edge of the woods. I stopped where I was and watched for a moment. I had to. I'd never seen anything in my life that could compare to what I saw that night. But there they were. I knew they were real, and they were moving towards Hannah. The lack of light outside made it hard to even tell how many there were. It was like their bodies bled together in the night. Just a mass of darkness punctuated by black soulless eyes. Only when they got closer to the fire could I begin to distinguish their individual shapes. I couldn't contain a gasp when I saw the silhouettes of an arm swinging as they moved. I only saw it for a minute, but I couldn't tell where the fingers ended and the claws began, and Hannah had no idea they were there. I snapped out of it and pushed the door open. "Hannah, run!" I yelled. Hannah looked up at me and then turned toward them. I know I must have imagined it, because I was too far away, but I could have sworn I saw her lip quiver. She screamed and scrambled to her feet, but instead of running toward the station, she bent down and grabbed Brent's arm with both hands. She was trying to drag him. I turned toward the dark mass of death in front of me. I could see two eyes staring right at me. I knew then that it was over. "No," I screamed and started running towards her, but it was too late. Why? Why hadn't she just run? Those things, those creatures, whatever they were fast. I waved the box cutter wildly as I ran, but I only cut through air. By the time I reached the puddle of blood where Brent had lay, they had already taken both of them. I heard Hannah screaming as I watched them seem to disappear behind the wall of forest surrounding the gas station. I knew that even though I couldn't see her, she was somewhere in that darkness now, with those eyes and those claws. I could hear Hannah screaming for what seemed like an eternity as she got farther and farther away from me. I heard her scream no, and I heard her scream help, and it was probably in my imagination again, but I thought once I heard her scream my name. I didn't even bother to go back inside. I sat down on the cold pavement and stared out into the woods. I dropped the box cutter without a second thought. They didn't want me. One of them had seen me and looked me in the eyes. It was Hannah they wanted. She was the only one they were after all along, and now they had her. I sat outside until someone came. They saw me there. They saw the look in my eyes, and they got out their phones. Then more people came, and more. They all asked me what happened, and I told them the truth. I told them all. They couldn't find Brent or Hannah anywhere, and they searched every inch of those woods. They searched all over, and then they asked me again what had happened. Even agents from the FBI asked me. I told them all the truth, again and again and again, but no one never believed me, and it didn't take me long to realize that no one ever would. But this job of mine, my very first job, at a gas station, in a forest, in the middle of Oregon, I witnessed some of the most terrible and horrendous things I've ever seen in my life. And I will always caution anyone who ever has to stop in the middle of Oregon's forest to get gas. Just don't. Keep driving, or you will live to regret it.